From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol. And today we are talking about a number of important pro-life developments, and we're going to have a special guest interview with a national pro-life advocate and attorney. And we are still anxiously awaiting the United States Supreme Court decision in the NIFLA versus Becerra case, which involves pro-life pregnancy centers in California who are being forced to advertise and promote abortion inside of their own clinics, which is clearly problematic, at least should be, for the government to force pro-life pregnancy centers to promote a message that is directly counter to their entire mission. And the law at the center of this in California has now gone all the way to the Supreme Court. And there are basically two components to this law from California involving medically licensed pregnancy centers who, under this California law, would be required to post or distribute a statement directing patients towards abortion and how they can obtain an abortion. And then for unlicensed pregnancy resource centers, the law requires them to actually post signs and state in all of their digital or print advertising that they are not medically licensed clinics, essentially squelching their ability to get their own message out. So this is a huge case involving both free speech and abortion. So there are a lot of people closely watching to see how the United States Supreme Court will rule on this. But the bottom line is that no one, no matter where you're at on the political spectrum, should be forced to provide free advertising for the abortion industry, certainly least of all pro-life pregnancy centers. Pro-life pregnancy centers provide free, practical resources, information, and support to women, no matter what choices that they make. So the government should not be enacting laws that undermine the good work of these pro-life pregnancy centers. And time again, we've seen that tolerance and respect for good faith differences of opinion are absolutely essential in a diverse society like ours. This is what enables us to peacefully coexist with one another. It's a complicated and emotional issue, no question, but it is wrong for the government to force pro-life pregnancy centers to provide free abortion advertising, and we hope that that will be the conclusion that the Supreme Court reaches, striking down that law in California. We'll have more on this next week when hopefully we have the decision. And while we don't yet know what the outcome in that case will be, we now do know, thanks to a national new report, that pro-life license plates are absolutely dominating their pro-choice counterparts on the roads. If you've been paying attention to the cars around you and then their license plates, you've probably started to see more Choose Life specialty license plates popping up on the roads in Nebraska. It's a beautiful plate that Nebraska Family Alliance helped to pass through the Nebraska legislature last year. It sends funds from the purchase of those plates to a fund to help needy families, and it promotes a really positive message about life. And in response to that, Planned Parenthood of the Heartland came out with their own specialty license plate promoting abortion. And I don't think it comes as much of a surprise that here in Nebraska and all across the United States, the pro-life license plates are far more popular than the pro-choice or My Body, My Choice Planned Parenthood license plates. And thankfully, this is not just anecdotal. We have numbers now to back this up. And I think it also points to a grander discussion. A new report from the Charlotte Lozier Institute shows that American cars and their drivers are displaying decidedly more pro-life than pro-choice views, and that includes here in Nebraska, What are the findings, and does this point to a larger picture? Well, I'm pleased to welcome the author of this report to the program, nationally recognized speaker and pro-life advocate, attorney, and associate scholar with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Janine Maxson. Janine, it's great to have you on the show today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Janine, I saw this report come out last month about the pro-life and pro-choice license plates, and I'm so glad to be able to talk to you about it. What led you to take a look at this particular topic?
Well, I have lived in six different states in the country, and I've traveled extensively, one of those states being Nebraska. And everywhere I go, I feel like on the road, I see so many more choose life plates, and I have seen in my entire adult life one pro-choice plate. So I thought, this is interesting. I just kind of wanted to dig into, you know, the data and see what the truth was. So, and I think that's probably a similar experience that many of your listeners have had, seeing numerous pro-life plates on the roads, and they've been driving throughout the country and seeing very few pro-choice plates.
I know that's been my experience so far here in Nebraska, starting to see a lot more of our Choose Life license plates pop up. But what did you find in your research and study comparing the pro-life and pro-choice license plates?
Well, generally, there's a whole lot more pro-life license plates on the road than pro-choice plates. And there's a lot of states, even like very liberal states, that have not been able to even introduce a pro-choice plate. So there are 29 states plus the District of Columbia that currently have a pro-life license plate. And it will be 30 next year when Kansas plate is issued. And there's only four states now that have pro-choice plates. There are three states, including Nebraska, that have both plates. In those three states, the numbers of pro-life plates vastly outnumber the pro-choice plates, hands down. In Virginia, which has the most pro-choice plates, it was two times as many pro-life plates compared to their pro-choice option. And, of course, generating that much more revenue, 2.5 times more revenue than the pro-choice option. And you're seeing that pattern follow in Nebraska as well, with 1,159 plates as of Choose Life plates as of May 1st, compared to only 309 of the Planned Parenthood of the Heartland plates sold.
Wow, that is such an encouraging report to hear that already over 1,000 Choose Life license plates have been sold here in Nebraska. And this became such a controversial issue here last year when our state legislature approved a Choose Life specialty license plate, and Nebraska Family Alliance helped lead that effort with other pro-life groups in the state. But that bill had to overcome 6 filibusters just for an optional specialty license plate, and then Planned Parenthood actually responded by creating their own pro-choice plate by going around the legislature and spending months and months trying to collect the necessary 200 signatures to create a specialty plate. So I love that you have highlighted in here in your report that as of May 1st, 1,159 pro-life license plates sold in Nebraska compared to just 309 Planned Parenthood plates. Janine, why in your estimation are the pro-life plates outperforming their counterparts so decisively in Nebraska and all across the country?
Well, you know, I think one of the things is when a pro-abortion group opposes something as simple and, you know, easy as a pro-life plate, it really gets people motivated because they realize just how aggressive and activistic that they are. So I think people, you know, after going through the battle that you had in Nebraska, you know, are more compelled to, you know, to take the steps to get a pro-life plate. And I also think that people are more, pro-life people are more willing to share their views. They're not ashamed of being pro-life. And I'm suspicious, based on what I found in Nebraska and other states as well, that pro-choice people are not, although they're pro-choice, they're not willing to, like, display it on a car because they're more ashamed of their views, as they should be.
And when you saw that debate happening in Nebraska last year, and as you've seen it in other states, does it surprise you the level of opposition and open hostility that you see towards something as simple as an optional pro-life license plate?
Well, what makes it even worse in Nebraska is that the money doesn't go to, in some states, the money goes to pro-life pregnancy centers and actually would fund pro-life organizations. In Nebraska, it's just a statement that a driver's making The money actually goes to Nebraska's General TANF Fund, which is a fund to help temporary assistance for needy families. So really, I mean, it's just a freedom of expression issue in Nebraska. It's like, I'm a pro-life person. I just want to demonstrate that on my car. So it is just mind-boggling that, you know, the degree to which the opposition will go to even prevent you from exercising your views and your free speech in this issue.
And in your report, when you looked at the numbers from the different states, was there anything that surprised you there or stood out to you while you were putting this report together?
Just generally how vastly the states outnumber with pro-life versus pro-choice. And also, as I mentioned, the number of states that can't even get to the point where they can get the minimum order of pro-choice plates. Now, Nebraska did get, as you said, the minimum of 200 prepaid applications to get their plate. Hawaii can't even get 150 plates. That's pretty low. And Massachusetts, which you think would has a higher requirement, but it's such a liberal state, you think that would be easy. They have had a pro-life plate since 2010, and they've still been unable to collect the 3,000 signatures is all they need to get their license plates.
Do you think that there will be is this a trend that you think is going to keep continuing? Will we get closer to 50 states or 45 or 40 having a pro-life license plate that people can buy?
Yeah, I would hope so. And I just encourage people in the states that have not been able to get bills passed to continue to press for that, even if it means, allowing a pro-choice group to have their plate. Because in the end, I believe you're going to see more pro-life plates than pro-choice plates on the road. So I think the opposition's efforts are pretty futile because ultimately drivers want to display their pro-life viewpoint, and pro-choice drivers are ashamed or shy to do that.
And something that we've heard from pro-choice supporters when this debate was going on, that you should just either buy a bumper sticker that says you're pro-life and that the state shouldn't be involved at all, or if you're going to make a pro-life plate, then the state should also have to make a pro-choice plate. What's your response to that idea?
Well, firstly, it's a misunderstanding of the state's involvement, because the state's not forcing people to put any plate on their car.
Right.
It's a voluntary option to give to the citizens of your state. And as far as the pro-choice plates go too, I mean, I would say, you know, let them have them, because I know ultimately the pro-life plates are going to be more prominently displayed on the road than the pro-choice plates. So I just think that efforts can be better spent on, you know, opposing and, you know, proactively promoting pro-life bills and rather than trying to oppose a pro-choice bill.
I completely agree, and I think that's a great point. And Jeanine, I also wanted to ask you, do you think that there's a bigger picture here beyond just the license plates? Are you encouraged where the pro-life movement is heading in our country?
Absolutely. I do believe that there are more pro-life people in the United States, and Gallup has published some polls within the last several years that indicate that. And I also believe that when people who call themselves pro-choice really do not fully understand the extent to which abortion laws are in this country. I think people who call themselves pro-choice really usually believe in certain limitations to abortion. Very few people are aware that the United States is only one in four countries that allows abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason. I think very few Americans agree with that position, but that is our law. So, and I think that, you know, the pro-life plates versus pro-choice plates report that I did really does demonstrate that deep down in people's feelings, they really are more pro-life than pro-choice.
And Jeanine, I know that you have been so involved with the pro-life movement over the years, serving as a national spokesperson on pro-life issues at times and giving speeches and lectures, publishing articles, and even actually serving and representing pro-life pregnancy centers. Why have you dedicated both your professional and personal life to advocating for the unborn?
Because, thank you for that wonderful question. Because I've seen the destruction that abortion causes not only on unborn children, but also on women and families. And so I decided when I was going through law school that I wanted to use my law degree to promote life, because when over 50 million of our American citizens 40 years and younger that would be my age are not here. There cannot be a more important issue for us in this country than the pro-life issue.
I also know that you're pretty widely published and frequently cited in the media, and today is a friendly interview with a friendly audience, but I'm sure it's not always that way. What is one of the main pro-life messages that you always try to leave people with when you're given the opportunity, when you have to, if you're in a debate or trying to persuade someone who might be more in the middle, who's listening to you speak?
That in the United States, pro-choice groups and pro-choice laws are extreme. When you compare them to the rest of the world, we're extreme. Europe has better laws on abortion. They protect children usually after 12 weeks. That's pretty much throughout the whole world. So we don't want to be extreme on any issue, but we are extreme when it comes to not protecting our unborn children and women from the destruction of abortion.
And what are you seeing, in your opinion, so far out of the new presidential administration? A lot of people have said that it's perhaps the most pro-life administration and most pro-life president that we've seen possibly in history, or at least since President Reagan. Do you agree with that assessment?
I absolutely agree. So far, the track record has been extremely pro-life, starting with the appointment of Neil Gorsuch, and then even more recently with the revision of the Title X rule. So Trump and his administration are taking several steps to protect life in our country. He should be commended for that.
And Janine, what do you think is sort of the next either hurdle that pro-life groups and pro-life Americans should be trying to overcome? Is there something in the works? You mentioned the Title X reform that we got. What should be the next goal that pro-life people should be working towards here in the United States?
We need to defund Planned Parenthood and abortion providers. Most Americans would agree, even if they're pro-choice, would agree that they don't want their tax funding going to abortion providers. And right now, Planned Parenthood, which is over a $1 billion organization, gets substantial amounts of money from the government. So that needs to be I'd say that would be the first thing to fix. And then there's still a lot of opportunity, both at the federal level and the state, to implement restrictions to abortion, such as, passing the pain-capable bill. And that can be done on federal and state levels. And there's more that can be done, too. I say every bill that can be passed is a step towards protecting life. And just encourage all your listeners to keep up the fight, because we are seeing success.
Well, Janine, I appreciate you leaving with that and your insight, ranging from pro-life and pro-choice license plates to the federal level, and all the great work that the Susan B. Anthony List and Charlotte Lozier Institute are doing to promote and defend life. I know it's greatly appreciated here in Nebraska, and I appreciate you being on the show with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can find more information about advancing the pro-life movement in our state by visiting NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and stand with us as we stand for life. It's essential that we keep growing the pro-life movement in Nebraska and continue to get a positive message about life and respecting and valuing the inherent dignity of every human life, because the latest statistical report on abortions from the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services showed that abortions in 2017 increased by almost 3% from the prior year. This is a report that our Department of Health and Human Services is required to put together every year, detailing facts and information on abortions that occur in our state. And it is an incredibly sobering report to read when you think about the individual human lives and the mothers behind each of the numbers. But it's also an important report to really understand this issue specifically in our state. It sheds light on important factors that lawmakers and citizens need to be aware of. And so we recently got this latest statistical report from 2017, and it showed that there were 1,958 reported abortions in Nebraska last year, which is up from 1,907 in 2016. So when you look at the ratio of abortions per live births in Nebraska, in 2017, the ratio was 74.7 abortions per 1,000 live births, 75 abortions essentially for every 1,000 live births in Nebraska in 2017. And I wanted to highlight, although the number of abortions increased from 2016 to 2017, abortions in Nebraska have still decreased by 68% since 1980. That is a dramatic decrease that shows we have come a long way, but still have a long way to go. According to the 2017 report, the number one reason for abortion was no contraception at 52.7%, 30% declined to answer, and almost 11% listed contraceptive failure. Other reasons included socioeconomic at 4.2% and mental health at 1.7%. Notably from this report, chemical abortions made up 55% of all abortions last year, also increasing by 14% from 2016. And last year was the first time that chemical abortions made up over half of all abortions. So this is another one of those trends that the pro-life movement needs to pay attention to, the sharp increase in chemical abortions that are taking place. And also what stands out in this latest report is how young the average age is of women seeking an abortion in Nebraska. The age of the patient at which abortions occurred most frequently in 2017 was just 22 years old. That's why the pro-life pregnancy centers that we talked about at the beginning of the show are so important, that they have the freedom to do their job to help support women and families who have an unplanned pregnancy, because every life lost to abortion is a tragedy. And there is something else in this report, though, that Nebraskans should be hopeful about. Last year, pro-life laws began to be passed again after a five-year drought. And significantly, even though the total number of abortions last year increased by 3%, abortions due to fetal anomaly decreased by 27%. And abortion due to the presence of fetal anomalies now make up less than 1% of all abortions. And I'm highlighting this specifically because while that decrease could be obviously for a variety of reasons, the Nebraska legislature passed a Nebraska Family Alliance supported bill into law early last year, specifically designed to help women and families choose life when an unborn child is diagnosed with a fetal anomaly. Tragically, when given a serious or life-limiting medical diagnosis during the early stages of a pregnancy, parents are given minimal options, and most women and their families are not aware of the compassionate care available to them through a special sort of care called perinatal hospice. And many are led to believe that if there's a fetal anomaly, especially a lethal fetal anomaly in the child, that the only option is to terminate the pregnancy. So in order to help create more awareness about the loving option of perinatal hospice care and to encourage physicians to share about the option of perinatal hospice care instead of abortion, the Nebraska legislature passed the Compassion and Care for Medically Challenging Pregnancies Act, which was signed into law in April of 2017. And this law required the Department of Health and Human Services to compile information on perinatal hospice care that physicians can provide to women at the time of diagnosis, which is really crucial that information is given to them at the time of the diagnosis, because instead of terminating the pregnancy, perinatal hospice helps families make memories that last a lifetime and gives the child a chance to meet their parents before they have to say goodbye. And it is such an unimaginably difficult circumstance for parents to have to walk through. But thankfully, more pregnant women who were diagnosed with a lethal fetal anomaly would have been informed about perinatal hospice care at the time of diagnosis in 2017. The bill helped generate widespread media attention and create a tremendous wave of newfound awareness about perinatal hospice care. And that's just one example, the type of difference that sound pro-life policy can make in creating a positive impact for the culture of life. That's why Nebraska Family Alliance remains committed to influencing policy and loving both the mother and her child while protecting life in all its forms. We'd love to have you join us. For more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and be a part of the movement to advance family, freedom, and life in Nebraska. That's all the time for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.